Hey, what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here, joined by Julie Beasley. Now, Julie, thank you and congratulations. I am understanding that your children are heroes. A couple of weeks ago, they were involved with citing a house fire and brought it to your attention and were instrumental in calling 911.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, we're very proud of our kiddos. We were actually on our back deck. It was actually Memorial Day on the back deck, putting together a new fire pit we had just purchased when our four-year-old was playing in the backyard. And he yelled at me, he said, "Mommy, the neighbor's house is on fire." And I said, "You know, I'm sure it's just a brush fire because those neighbors have brush fires all the time." He said, "No, Mommy, the house is on fire." I told our oldest son, I said, "Brady, go check and see if that house is on fire." He ran over and he looked, he said, "The house is on fire." And that's the last thing I remember. My heart dropped and we just started running as fast as we could. I started panicking. I told my husband, like, "Call 911, call 911. I knew they had animals in the house. So we kind of helped with our neighbors and got the animals out of the house, and the family arrived back and absolutely devastated. But I would say the family members are all safe. Two dogs got out. A cat, unfortunately, did not make it. But we've had people from the community in and out. Our road has been so busy the last few weeks, people coming in and checking out the damage. But you have to give a lot of credit to our school, because I asked my four-year-old, who is the one who noticed the fire, I said, "How did you know to say something?" I said, "You did such a great job." I told him he was a superhero, and he was in the bathtub that night singing, "I saved the day." He said, "We talk about it at school. We learned about fires. When you see a neighbor on fire, you tell your parents." So thank you. It was an emotional day, but very thankful that everybody was safe.
Well, that is absolutely fantastic news. Congratulations. And thank you to your children for being aware. Something else that happened here recently, I tried one of the Gables bagels. That's it's a new thing that Buffaloes is doing right now. Ed Schwartzman over there, thank you for my test. And that was great. Pretty authentic. Let me tell you, I'm a New Englander, and I enjoy my bagels. And that was probably the best bagel I've had in town. So thank you to him as well. Today is the 11th of June. Let's take a look back at this week in history. In 1982, on June the 7th, Priscilla Presley opened up Graceland to the public. The only room that was not opened up was the bathroom where Elvis Presley himself was found dead. In 1949, on June 8th, George Orwell's 1984 was published. And of course, that book has a lot of recent references, I would say. And on June 9th, 1973, Secretariat won the Triple Crown of horse racing. And on June the 10th in 1692, the Salem witch trials began, and Bridget Bishop was the first to be hanged as a witch in Salem, Massachusetts. And on June 11th, 1935, inventor Edwin Armstrong gave the very first public demonstration of FM broadcasting in the United States. And that happened in Alpine, New Jersey. Today, we have two celebrity birthdays. Joe Montana, the former quarterback great, is celebrating number 65. And Frank Beard is celebrating birthday number 72. We mentioned him because he is a very famous musician. He is a drummer for the band ZZ Top. Now, interestingly enough, his name is Frank Beard. He's the only member of ZZ Top without a beard.
How ironic. Well, today on the show, we welcome Bloomington City Councilman Steve Olin and our community update brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon and the music of Ron Kadish. But first, your local news headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance, as well as investments. It's American Senior Benefits of Bloomington. You can find them online at asbofindiana.com. Now, Skip, tell us what's happening.
State and federal authorities are investigating a Central Indiana plane crash that killed 21-year-old Benjamin Corbett of Franklin, Indiana, and 28-year-old Kristen Green of Swisher, Iowa. The single-engine Diamond Katana DA-40 aircraft departed from Lift Academy, a flight school in Indianapolis, and crashed about 50 miles away last Sunday. A spokesman for Lyft Academy says they will work to help the families and also with the NTSB to fully investigate the crash.
Indiana University announced this week that two former U.S. senators will take on new roles as staff with the university. Former Senator and Indiana Governor Evan Bayh will join the O'Neill School of Public and Environmental Affairs as a distinguished scholar and executive at large. Former Senator and Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats will join the Hamilton Lugar School of Global and International Studies in a similar position as a distinguished scholar and ambassador at large. The two will work together on the school's new joint one-year master's degree program in international affairs. Both Bayh and Coats are Indiana University graduates. Bayh received his undergraduate degree from Indiana University, while Coats graduated from the IU Robert H. McKinney School of Law.
The Indiana Family and Social Services Administration Build, Learn, Grow initiative has made 50,000 scholarships available to help get Hoosier children from families working in essential industries, regardless of income, enrolled in early care and education, summer learning, out of school care. Scholarships run from May through October of 2021 and will cover up to 80% of the early care and education program's tuition for each child aged 12 and younger. Information is available at buildlearngrow.org.
IU Health Bloomington broke ground on a new emergency medical services headquarters last week. Construction on the 19,300 square foot facility led by Pepper Construction Company begins this month and is set to be complete in December of 2021. The new facility will be located near the IU Health Bloomington Administrative Office Building near the intersection of Curry Pike and State Road 46. With easy access to Interstate 69, the building is designed specifically for this team and the important work they do in providing emergency care to individuals in need in the local and surrounding communities.
Bloomington South rising senior Christina Pagel has advanced to wave two of the U.S. Olympic swimming trials in Omaha, Nebraska between June 13th and 20th. Pagel finished second in the 100-yard freestyle with a career best 55.91 to advance to wave two. Pagel finished fifth in the 50-meter freestyle with a time of 25.60, but will not advance to Wave 2 in that event. The Wave 1 trials were held June 4th through June the 7th, and the top two in each event advance to Wave 2. Pagel is a two-time state high school champion in the 100-yard freestyle and two-time state runner-up in the 200-meter freestyle.
Indiana women's basketball senior Grace Berger has been named to the 2021 AmeriCup team that will play in San Juan, Puerto Rico, June 11th through 19th. The 12-member roster will include four other Big Ten players. The USA will open play June 12th against Dominican Republic at 6:10 p.m. and all games will be available on ESPN. And those are your local headlines. We'll be right back with more here on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com.
If I give you a legacy, would you see it's a rose? If I give you a part of me to hold, unfold. If I give to you what you need, if I give to you, would you need? I live.
Welcome back. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Julie Beasley here along with Skip Daly, and that was the music of Ron Kadish. Our community update is brought to us this week by the world-famous family-friendly Porthole Inn, the gem of Lake Lemon. The Porthole features amazing food, and their outdoor live music schedule is now underway. You can check them out on Facebook for more details. And the Porthole is also seeking pizza makers and kitchen help. Contact the Porthole for more information. Get ready, blues fans. Indiana blues legends Gordon Bonham and Gene Deere will be leading the blues jam this coming Tuesday evening, and that will take place at the Porthole Inn. Come enjoy the Porthole Inn's fine menu and help raise the roof. Sign up musicians begins at 6 p.m. and starts at 7 p.m. You can find out more about the Bloomington Blues Jam by visiting the Bloomington Blues group on Facebook.
Well, Julie, returning to the show after, oh my goodness, I'm not even sure how long. One of our favorite people here from Bloomington, Indiana, City Council member Steve Volenthal. Steve, how are you doing?
I am pretty good. Happy to be here. How are you? Well, happy to be unmasked.
Well, it is good to be unmasked. It is
Very good to be unmasked.
It's good for everything to start to open up. People are conscientious and cautious at the same time. But it's great summer weather, outdoor activities. Glad things are returning to quote unquote normal. But more importantly, let's get into Steve Volen, council member Steve Volen. How long have you been on the council, by the way? I think ever since I've been in town for at least 15 years now. So
that's right. I'm as old as the hills. This is my 18th year on council. I'm 18th. In the middle of my fifth term on council. Yeah.
Wow.
The only person more senior than me is Dave Rollo. He was on a year before me.
Love it or regret it.
It's neither, but both.
Neither, but both.
Neither, but both. But sometimes I love it.
Well, you've been able to be active and involved. You know, what more could people ask for than to be involved in their local government?
They could ask to not be involved with their local government.
Well, there's that.
Now, see, I got smiles out of both hosts, but I did not get any actual laughs. Nobody could tell that I was kidding.
We're laughing. We have to stay neutral.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, there's been a lot going on. Actually, one thing that before we get into all the controversial stuff that we're going to bring up, well, maybe this is a little controversial. The cicadas. Now, you had mentioned to me offline the decibel level that they reached, and you'll have to remind me what that number was. I believe that was the catapult for you to introduce the ordinance that you've sponsored here. and talk to us about that. Talk to us about the decibel level and the ordinance that you've sponsored.
I've already forgotten what joke ordinance I was going to propose, but it was something about banning cicadas or something. I don't remember what. You have to tell me what the gag was. I've already forgotten it.
Well, this isn't gonna work.
Well, what is? I mean, I thought that was coming at the end of the show and not at the interview, not beginning. My a quiet room is like 38 decibels, and decibels are logarithmic. So every like 10 decibels is twice as loud or something like that. I went out to my front porch and recorded the cicadas at 66 decibels last week. And then the other day I went outside my garage door and they were at 74. And just yesterday they were at 75. So, I mean, that's a bunch of horny 17-year-olds, if you ask me, right there. But then Bloomington's used to that many young kids running around looking to mate.
So, oh, my.
fortunately, they only come around once every 17 years, but yeah. So it's going to go away by the end of the month, so I'm told, by people who know more about zoology than me. But aren't they fun having around? They're these slow, lopey dudes that fly around kind of slowly. They're actually, you know, they're kind of cute.
It's on the theme a little bit of decibels, moving back on track with the Bloomington City Council. I think about decibels on social media this week. I saw so many posts and conversation about the unexpected noise in Bloomington earlier this week with military training and exercises, yeah. just because it's been such a topic. It was a hot topic of conversation from so yeah. many people who I believe there are flyers. I noticed people had mentioned on Facebook. I think I saw flyers were distributed by the city of Bloomington, but a lot of people were a little bit shocked or surprised hearing the noise in the middle of the night and not having, from what I understand and from what I read, not having had received any notice. What do you know about that? And how, what was government's involvement, and were you aware? Was the city, how long was the city aware of this?
Yeah, so my first awareness of it was I heard a boom. I live in the west side of Elm Heights. And so the booms were concentrated closer to McDowell Gardens, I think. Actually, they were doing a raid on the old Night Moves building because it was going to be, it'd be torn down. I didn't know. And I'm a city council member. The mayor's office was told and the police department was told, but they were told not to provide wide notification to the public. You know, from their point of view, safety and security, they wanted the exercise to be secure, and they didn't want to stir up any potential safety concerns concerning what they were doing, you know, beforehand. The mayor wasn't told why they chose Bloomington. He didn't ask. They were supposed to notify, not the city, the military was supposed to notify neighborhoods. They say they did, but the mayor doesn't know how effective that notification was. I think that the administration could have gotten on social media a little bit more quickly after the exercise was over, but I'm not sure how much good that would have done because the operation happened from like 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. They could have maybe responded the next day saying, here's what happened. But so there was some confusion the next morning, the next day when people were talking on social media about it. All in all, yeah, it's kind of crappy, but I can sort of see why they did what they wanted. They did it the way they did. But I don't know. I mean, I'm really ambivalent about it. I understand why they did it. And I totally, I mean, if it had happened closer to my house, I would have been very upset. So I don't know. That's a tough one.
I'm curious, what was the level of noise? I'm over toward the Ellettsville area. So what did, as somebody who lives near there and experienced it, what kind of noises did you hear?
I heard just one boom, but I thought it was either a big firework or maybe a car crash. I didn't hear anything after that because I may have been in my basement or something. So I don't know. And even if I had heard something like that, unless it had been continuing to go off near me, I wouldn't have thought to get the decibel meter out. So I'm afraid we'd have to ask somebody who lives closer to Switchyard Park, because I think they would have gotten the full brunt of it.
All right, Steve. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to pick your brain about a couple of other hot topics, such as redistricting and annexation. We'll be back with more of Councilmember Steve Volin from downtown Bloomington. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
I'm injury attorney Matt Lloyd. With an injury claim, don't leave cash on the table by not realizing all the Indiana laws that can help you. The insurance company won't tell you about them, but call me for a free consultation to learn all the important steps to get the best settlement. Call or text 812-333-MATT or go online to myinjurycase.com. Let's join forces and fight for a settlement that makes sense for you. 812-333-MATT.
Well, welcome back. You are listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. We had some great music there. Our music this week is brought to us by Ron Kadish. And we are back here with Steve Volan. Very entertaining evening talking about the Bloomington City Council. Now, next up, Steve, another thing that's a hot topic within the city of Bloomington and the city council, of course, is annexation.
It's a hotter topic outside the city of Bloomington, I think.
I think that's a very good point. And speaking of
that, see what I did there?
You did. I know that's another thing I've seen many stories recently too about there are some people that are very happy about being annexed and then some that are not, depending on how it's going to impact them with city services and taxes and all of that. Give us an update on what the conversations have been from the Bloomington City Council and maybe your viewpoint on it as well.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been much of any conversation yet because the ordinances that reintroduced them were only reintroduced late last month. And annexation is one of the longest processes that we ever engage in. I mean, there's a required 5-month process that we were halfway through in 2017 when the General Assembly so rudely interrupted. I put my pinky to my corner of my mouth. But yeah, so we just began it. So there's going to be a public meeting, I think August 4th. That will be the another opportunity like in 2017 for members of the public to express their concerns, if any, about annexation. Of course, I know that there are concerns. So I'm sure that there's going to be a well-attended meeting that day. I mean, if you'd like to ask a more specific question, I mean, yes, it's ongoing. There hasn't been much conversation yet because we're still gathering information. The administration had to update all of the, I mean, the administration went and had a fiscal analysis for every property that would be affected. Cities don't have to do that. Not every city does that when they annex. Because they did that in 2017, they had to update it in 2021 once we came back to it. So that took quite some time. But I mean, the administration found out from the Supreme Court that the city had won its case against the state, actually against the governor, technically against the governor, in mid-December of last year. And I think I was the first person to find out that we had won the case because I was president of council at the time. It took the administration 4 months of consulting with the company that did the fiscal analyses, with their lawyers and outside counsel to figure out how to represent to council. So they brought it back as quickly as they could, but it still took the better part of 5 months. What can we go for more specifics? What would you like to know?
Sure. Steve, this is an hour-long conversation. Actually, it's several hours long conversation,
yeah,
but
sorry.
We're trying to just hit on a couple of points here. And I understand this is the mayor's request and he's presenting it to city council, but why start with 10,000 plus acres after not having any annexation over the past 12 years? And why not start with the islands of the county that are within the city limits?
A good question. Mayor Crizan simply didn't do any annexations. Whatever was on the books in 2003 got done in 2004. And then, you know, I didn't even think about annexations. That was one of the things I never experienced. And so I didn't know to ask the question, why aren't we annexing? So comes Mayor Hamilton, he sees the area intended for annexation and he asks, why don't we annex it? He chose to annex everything, okay? It wouldn't have been my choice, but the question to us was, how much of this do you want to annex? Now, we were in the process of evaluating the requests. And for example, Area 6, the area, the northeast corner of outside Bloomington, was removed by the council in 2017. And we were in the process of contemplating the removal of Area 7 when the General Assembly interrupted. Any questions that you have about that are 2017 questions. Because the General Assembly unconstitutionally interrupted a legal annexation process that they set up, and then they passed laws saying that the sewer waivers that the city signed in good faith with developers and developments and people who own property out in the areas intended for annexation are no longer valid after 15 years, according to the new law, the city no longer has an incentive. I mean, the city has a big incentive, I should say, to annex all the areas now, because if they don't, they might never get a chance. We might never get a chance to do it again because the General Assembly acted in such a heavy-handed way. So there were some unintended consequences of their action, and that's one of them. I mean, if I know that somebody got sewer service and signed, and that property was, it, maybe they didn't sign it, but whoever it was at the time, they got a waiver saying that they wouldn't remonstrate against annexation. You know, that's an acknowledgement that they were getting the ultimate, the definitive city service. If now suddenly they're expiring, the state has given the city an incentive to annex whatever it can because it might not be allowed to again. So, you know, that's a tough one, but I don't think that the state's action helped any. I mean, I think that the council would have cut more areas from the initial proposal if we had been given a chance to. It was April 17th, and we weren't going to be passing the final legislation until June. It was introduced in February of 17. So they cut us off halfway through the process. We had just gotten started evaluating cases. We didn't evaluate areas one and two, by far the biggest areas, because they were the biggest ones. We were going to get to them when we could. Six and seven were the easiest ones to evaluate because they were small. Just from a political perspective, I think that the state temporarily won 4 years ago, but everything they've done since is basically based on an unconstitutional act. The Indiana Supreme Court found that it was unconstitutional what they did. They made a law that affected only one jurisdiction. They did it on purpose, and they knew they did it. And the Supreme Court found in the city's favor. So everything has got to be filtered through that now, unfortunately. 4 years ago, I might have said the islands and some parts of one and two. Now, I, for one, you know, if I favor annexation, and frankly, I do, you know, I have much less incentive to carve out big pieces of one and two.
We don't have a whole lot of time, and we want to talk about redistricting for at least a minute. Can you give me abbreviated answers to these two follow-ups?
Yeah.
Do you feel the city at this point is prepared to handle the management of that much land? And the second question is, do you feel the communication with the county is fair at this point?
To the first question, yes, I think the city can handle it. To the second question, I think the communication with the county was much worse in 2017. It's better this year, but I think the question is more moot this year too. There's not as much to say.
Talk a little bit about redistricting as well. Can you give us an update on that really quick? I know we're short on time here.
Yeah, real quick. Redistricting happens every 10 years. We have to redistrict the city's lines by 2022. Mm-hmm. The county, by the way, has to redistrict their lines for commissioner and council by the end of this year, although they may have a delay because of the census. I authored an ordinance to create a citizens redistricting advisory commission so that it's not people like me drawing the lines. I actually drew the map that we're currently serving under. We considered 16 maps back in 2012, but I mean, it was considered and voted on pretty much only by council members. This will require that citizens of Bloomington are the ones who design a map. The council doesn't have to accept it, but it'd be really embarrassing if they didn't. I'm definitely looking for people who want to serve on the commission. If annexation passes, we'll have to do a second round. And the redistricting we do would be good for the 2023 election, but people won't be who are annexed won't be until 2024. We'll have to do it all over again because we have to redraw the districts to include the newly annexed land. So if you're interested in redistricting, please contact the city council office and apply to join it.
A quick follow-up to that, Steve. I think I read an article talking about including students in that as well. Would I be correct in saying that?
Absolutely. There, the commission requires that there be three Democrats, three Republicans, three independents. At least one of each of those pools has to be a student enrolled at IU, because IU students make up half the population of the city. That doesn't mean there can't be more than three students, but there have to be at least three. But one has to be a Democrat, one has to be a Republican, one has to be independent. They have to have voted in one of the last two elections. And if they want to be a Democrat or Republican, they have to have voted in at least one primary. So as long as they live in the city and they voted in one of the last two elections, anybody can be on the committee. There's a few other restrictions we don't have time to go into. You can be on it. Take a look at the city council or the city website that talks about the redistricting commission. The Citizens Redistricting Advisory Commission, abbreviation is CRAC. I want you to get on CRAC. Join us. Get on CRAC.
Well, Steve, that cannot be the message that we leave on. Oh, my goodness. I never know what to expect with you.
When I have fun on city council, it's because of stuff like this, Skip. I mean, come on, man. I got to take my last where I can.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much for being with us. Would you like to leave our audience with any positive thoughts here?
The weather's really nice. It's time for vacation. You can do so. You can go out in public now without too much worry about wearing a mask if you've had the vaccine. And otherwise, I'm just going to go mow my lawn.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate the information. We appreciate the humor. And we, of course, appreciate your commitment to our community. We'd also like to thank our friends over at the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update. And, of course, Ron Kadish for providing this month's music.
Ron Kadish, woo!
Oh, Steve, you crack me up. On behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us Fridays as we keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.